As human beings, we never really outgrow our desire to have the latest and greatest if it's some toy. So the big thing now is this thing called artificial intelligence, or AI for short. I don't know much about it, but it's all mimicry. It can kind of, well, it can impersonate. It can take all the resources and then it puts together things in a pretty compelling way. So for example, like if I just submitted all the bulletin articles that I've ever written, it could generate something that would look like me, sound like me, it'd be the same style, vocabulary, even some of the same anecdotes. If I tried it sometime, I wonder if anybody would notice. I might maybe next week, even if my own mom maybe would be fooled by it. Then of course, it begs the question, like, well, can you use AI for a homily? Oh, well, you could, I'm sure, but you'd know right away. I mean, it'd be really organized, it'd make a lot of sense, it'd be logical. You'd be like, that ain't Father. I don't know who that is, but that's you know, especially like the first time we give a homily at 4 o'clock on a Saturday. Oh, we have it all thought about and we prayed about it, but you never know how it's going to really come out. It takes time for our thoughts to kind of settle in. Anyway, in terms of like, I would say that AI is a bit of like, it's like a parasite. It can't generate things. There's no creativity. It just uses something in a way that's very impressive. But speaking of imposters, the greatest one ever, of course, is the enemy of human nature, the devil. And today we're going to show this movie about Padre Pio. Because of his holiness, he had a lot of interactions with the devil. The devil's favorite costume is the white hat. He comes as the hero. Hey, I'm with you people. I'm here to help. You can trust me. And then he insinuates himself in. But as they'll show in the movie, there are certain things that he can't do. There are certain things that the devil is limited. He just, for example, at one point he walks into Padre Pio's confessional. True story. And Padre Pio's on the other side of the screen, and he knows something is off about this guy. And so he, in Italian, he says, Sia lodato Gesù Cristo, which means, be praised, Jesus Christ. And the response is, sempre sia lodato, always be praised. And the devil gets tongue-tied. He can't say it. It's impossible for him to give God the glory, to give God his due. That part of him is broken. And so he leaves that he can't go to confession because he can't be humble. This feast of the baptism shows who God really is. He doesn't have to be baptized, but he chooses out of an example. God is humble. You can even hear like the evangelists and certainly St. John the Baptist, like, you're going to be baptized? No, you haven't done anything. You don't have to repent. I should be baptized by you. Jesus is showing who he really is, that God is humble. Because all through human history, there are going to be a lot of imposters. They're going to come along and say, hey, I can save you. I'm the one that you really want. I'll fulfill your desires. I know who you really are. And we have to sift through that. Jesus, he gives us an example of who he is. So he does a lot of things that he didn't have to do. Wash feet, forgive sin, turn water into wine, die for our sins. But he does it out of humility to show the heart of God is humble. And if we're going to be like him, then we're going to have to grow in that virtue. So, and like I said, that the imposters are legion. There was this thing called the Jesus Seminar, 20, 30 years ago. And it was the whole thing about, we don't really know what Jesus said or what he really did. And they try to demythologize. He didn't really, you know, multiply the loaves and the fish. It was a miracle of sharing. Well, when we share, that's pretty impressive, I know, but No, he literally did these things. He had a power that the world doesn't have, and we can know him. He did reveal himself. These things we don't have to wonder about and I don't know. We have these misgivings and these doubts. No, we should feed our faith. We know what Jesus did, and we know what he said, because he is God. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. There are these things that you'll see once in a while that... I was listening to a song on the radio by Genesis. That's Phil Collins. I sang a little bit this morning, but it's out of my range. Anyway, it's Jesus, he knows me, and he knows I'm right. I've been talking to Jesus all my life. It's these, well, it's his prosperity gospel. This little girl, Daisy, is not impressed by the prosperity gospel. She says, you know, the idea that if you're close to Jesus, things go your way. He promises you riches, an easy life, and that's a sign that you're really a good friend. Well, that's not true. He said, if you follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross. You might suffer. You might have a harder life following me than if you didn't. But you'll be happier, holier. You'll have more peace. You'll know that you're really becoming what God wanted you to be. But he doesn't promise us heaven on earth. He is a straight shooter. God is a realist. He tells the truth. He can't do anything but. So all these ways of, well, how do we know who Jesus really is, who we can listen to, who we should follow? Well, we can know. You know, there was this time, there was this competition. The kids used to always say, like, what if Jesus and the devil, like, mano a mano? You think there'd be any competition? Of course not. But the kids love those kinds of scenarios. Like, they were having this contest about computer programming, and they were Jesus and the devil going back and forth. All of a sudden, there was a lightning strike and a power outage, and then the God, the Father, is the judge, and then the power comes back on, and he says, okay, let's see your results. And the devil's like, I don't have any. I mean, the power, I lost everything. And Jesus said, well, look, he had it all right there. And the devil's like, how did he do that? And God says, well, you know that, I mean, the devil can program, but only Jesus saves. Anyway, so I'm not very good at telling jokes. I just never was very good at it. But how do you get to know who the real Jesus is? Like anything, spend time with him. A friend of mine, when his dad was dying of cancer, he and his mom went to visit. And they got into the hospital room, and my friend kind of stood back so his mom could have a little time with his dad. And she went up and sat by the bed, and his dad was sleeping or unconscious. And so she just held his hand, and without opening his eyes, he said, Mary, I hurt so bad. And she said, I know. When you spend a lifetime together, he didn't even have to open his eyes. He knew it was his wife. And she knew his pain because they'd made vows. They spent a lifetime going through a lot of hard things. That's what love is. That's what marriage is. That's what discipleship is. You know each other because you've been together. You've been through a lot of things. And they could have divided, but in God's grace and his providence, they drew you closer to each other. How do we know? Well, it's like this guy, when I was watching this guy run this excavator, they were doing this, building an adoration chapel in Marshfield before I left. And this guy, I mean, it was magnificent. I mean, if he'd made one little slip of the control, he would have gone right into this pit. I watched him for a whole afternoon. I had nothing else to do. Anyway, afterwards, I said, how did you do that? That's amazing. He said, Father, it's just a lot of hours in that seat. Experience, a lot of hours in your pew, a lot of hours coming to church, saying rosaries, getting close to the Lord. He's always here. You can know him. He knows you, and he loves you. He'll never change. He knows everything more about you than you know about yourself. And he's chosen to create you and to redeem you. And so we don't have to have misgivings and doubts and, you know, kind of wring our hands like, I don't know who. No, you can know him if you want to. It's only a matter of sincerity and a humble heart. Ask him, Lord, who are you? What do you want of me? Where are you going? How should I follow? In the end, there are a lot of opportunities for us. This week, there's this Carlo Acutis. He was 15 when he died. He's going to be canonized a saint this year, which is amazing. A 15-year-old, a teenage saint. I've never met anybody like that. Anyway, with all due respect, we got any teenagers here. He's going to have his exposition, these Eucharistic miracles. He made all these displays, and then he died. They're going to be here this week in the basement. Not the actual ones that he made, but the whole display is coming to Wausau Holy Name, and you can go down and see him and see Jesus in the Eucharist and how he's appeared and how he's done things that were outside of science. Things that are, well, not exactly explained by the laws of nature, but things that happened that gave people hope. Thursday night at 6 p.m., there'll be a little presentation. You could come Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I hope that you will. I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen him. And each time we learn something here, it affects how we love here. Well, in the end, I guess we could resolve it or conclude this way. Elijah, you know, Elijah was said that God was passing by. And he saw a big storm, driving winds, crushing rock, an earthquake. But then there was a still, small whisper. And then he knew it was God. You can know who God is. You just have to listen, spend time, bring him your suffering, and come to the Lord. He's here, and he always will be.